The Force Field is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
From Charlotte, North Carolina, for IT service providers, it's The Force Field with Rick Savoia. And now, here is your host, Rick Savoia.
Greetings, providers. Welcome to the unofficial podcast for IT service providers, The Force Field. I am your host, Rick Savoia, and during the next half hour, we'll cover the news, views, reviews, and interviews for and about the IT industry and the Force Field community. Our call-in segment is open to all listeners Saturday nights from 10:30 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern. Call 407-278-5698. That's 407-278-5698. Or you can call in via Skype at Savoia Computer if you'd like to be part of the show. Most IT professionals who own their own businesses start as technicians who decide they want to work for themselves. A few may have some formal business experience, but many don't. One day they decide, hey, I know computers. Why should I work for someone else at a fixed wage when I can open my own office or store and make more money doing it on my own? I thought this when I started my own computer business. I had some technical training, and I always wanted to be my own boss. So it seemed only natural to take the next step and make that transition from full-time tech employee to full-time entrepreneur. The problem with this logic is that, in order to have a successful enterprise, it isn't enough to be a good tech. You must know how to run a business as well. In fact, the most important skills needed to start and maintain a successful tech business aren't really technical skills at all. The skills that are critical to the success of a tech business, or any business, are those related to business management. This is what the Force Field is all about. It isn't just about tech, although there is a tech aspect to it. It isn't about the nuts and bolts of information technology. It doesn't need to be. There are plenty of other shows for that. The primary aim of this show is to discuss both the entrepreneurial and technical aspects of starting and operating a tech business, to help the IT technician find the resources and develop the skills needed to become an entrepreneur and build a successful business in the IT industry. Today we'll go inside the Force Field and discover some of the resources available for entrepreneurial technicians. We'll also review some changes coming soon to the show and the site to help you make the most of these resources. But first, let's take a look at what's going on elsewhere in the IT industry. The Force Field will carry live coverage of the 2013 National Association of Broadcasters show on the front page of the portal beginning Monday, April 8, 2013, courtesy of the Tech Podcast Network. The Force Field podcast is a proud member of TPN. Todd Cochran of Geek News Central and the New Media Show and Don Bain of The Gadget Professor will be broadcasting live each day at the live stream broadcast booth with fast-paced style coverage of NAB. In addition to the live video stream, the front page of theforcefield.net will also feature a live social media stream and a live chat where viewers around the world can discuss the NAB Show 2013 in real time. The NAB Show features the latest innovations in broadcasting. Highlights of the show will include interviews, product demos, and other events. The NAB show will be held April 8th through 11th, 2013 in Las Vegas, Nevada. The conference begins April 8th, 2013 at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Live video coverage begins at 4:45 p.m. Eastern Time or 1:45 p.m. Pacific Time, Monday, April 8th, 2013. VMware will host the online VMware Forum 2013, April 23rd. Called Unleash the Power of Virtualization to Simplify IT, the free online forum offers opportunities to chat and network with VMware experts and IT peers, learn about the software-defined data center and new VMware offerings, and participate in live breakout sessions and technical discussions. The online VMware forum will be held April 23, 2013 from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Time in a 3D virtual environment with interactive booths staffed by VMware partners. The event is free to qualified professionals. To register for the online VMware Forum, go to theforcefield.tradepub.com/free/w_VMWA75 or click on the link in the show notes in the RSS feed for this episode. Seagate claims to be the first hard drive manufacturer to ship 2 billion hard disk drives. In a press release March 12th, the company said it took 29 years to ship the first billion and only 4 years to ship the second. And finally, sales of Microsoft Windows 8 are below expectations. They're so dismal, in fact, that the adoption rate seems to be even slower than that of Windows Vista. According to Computer World, recent statistics from Net Applications showed 4.9% of all Windows PCs were powered by Vista 5 months after its release, while only 3.6% ran Windows 8 at the same point after its release. Another article in Computer World reported that the decline in Windows XP use has slowed, indicating that many users, particularly enterprise clients, are still holding on to the aging operating system even after the release of Windows Vista, Windows 7, and Windows 8. The article estimates that the number of businesses still using XP may be as high as 40%. Considering that companies are obviously not migrating to Windows 8 and Microsoft is set to end support of Windows XP April 8, 2014, that is a significant turn of events. To make matters worse for Redmond, Dell, in recent filings to the SEC, apparently blamed its drop in PC sales on both Windows 8 and Windows 7. According to the computer giant, the slow adoption of Windows 8 and the slowdown in upgrades to Windows 7 in the enterprise market is really hurting sales. Interestingly, an article in PC World states that new Windows 8 laptops are dropping dramatically in price by as much as 46%, 10 months after their introduction to the market. On the other hand, new laptops with Windows 7, if you can still find them, are commanding higher prices, presumably because consumers prefer to go with Windows 7 instead of Windows 8. I'm not surprised. Recently in my blog, I wrote about my own experience shopping for a new laptop for my son. Since the new system was intended for him, I thought it was only fair to let him decide which operating system he wanted to use. So, when shopping around, I took him along and asked him to try it out on the demo units in the store. It didn't take him long to conclude that he didn't want one with Windows 8. I had to hunt around for a laptop with Windows 7. Unfortunately, that was a difficult order to fulfill, thanks to Microsoft, who demanded PC makers pre-install all of their new computers with Windows 8 and refused to allow customers to downgrade to 7. After searching around, I considered purchasing a Chrome-based tablet for my son instead, but I realized that if I did so, most of the Windows-based software he already had would be useless. He did get his laptop. When we drove down to Orlando at the end of last year, I found a Windows 7 notebook in stock at CompUSA, now owned by Tiger Direct, and it snapped it up right away. Now he's happy, I'm happy, and all is well. No thanks to Microsoft. Now I need a new production PC. I need to be able to just build it, turn it on, and start working on it. I have neither the time nor the patience to relearn the operating system. I know Windows, and I like Windows 7. I've already decided it will be a Windows 7 machine, no matter what Microsoft says. After all, it's my computer, not theirs. This summer, the next version of Windows 8 is due for release, codenamed Windows Blue. Screenshots of this new operating system have already been leaked, and the word is that Microsoft is moving even further away from the desktop model that Windows XP and Windows 7 were based on. Obviously, Redmond wants us all on the new Windows 8 tablet-style interface, no matter what we want or think. Microsoft is trying to do away with the desktop with forced obsolescence, and so far, the market is resisting. Who will win out? Time will tell. But I think a lot of users are getting tired of being told what to buy, and I'm one of them. Microsoft may think it knows what's good for us, but the company had better be careful and listen to what its customers say they really want. If it doesn't, Microsoft may become obsolete. And that's the news in the Force Field. There are many aspects of owning and operating a computer business. Unfortunately, the formality of paperwork is one of those that is often overlooked until the moment it's needed. Work orders, contracts, service checklists, and invoices are things every business owner needs, but doesn't always have the time, experience, or patience to create from scratch. And the legal documents such as maintenance contracts? Don't get me started on that. Fortunately, you don't have to start from square one. Bryce Whitty at TechNibble has just released a kit that has it all, the Computer Business Kit. The Computer Business Kit contains over 30 ready-to-use legal documents, computer business forms, and marketing templates to help you protect yourself and look professional. Invoices, terms of sale, maintenance contracts, it's all here in a compilation of easy-to-use and customizable forms and legal documents. But that's not all. The kit also includes 27 marketing templates, lists of suppliers in the U.S., U.K., Canada, and Australia, lists of computer recyclers, and discounts on many leading computer products. Bryce has already done the hard work of creating these templates, so you don't have to. All you need to do is replace the sample logo and contact details with yours, and you're ready to go. If you paid a lawyer to draft similar documents, it would cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars. With the Computer Business Kit, you can get started for only $99. The Computer Business Kit is instantly downloadable and comes with a money-back guarantee. And each purchase through the Force Field will help keep the Force Field podcast going and help keep the site online. To order the Computer Business Kit, simply go to technibble.com/AFF/Force Field. Or click on the link in the show notes in the RSS feed for this episode. You're listening to The Force Field, and this is the part of the show I look forward to the most, as it is the opportunity to talk to my fellow professionals in the field. If you want to talk, you can call me at 407-CPU-JOY-8. That's 407-278-5698. Or through Skype at Savoia Computer. If you don't have Skype, simply go to the Force Field podcast episodes page at theforcefield.net and click the Skype icon located on the right sidebar. The download is free, the call is free, and the show is free. And you can't beat free. So call in and dare to enter the Force Field. As you may or may not already know, the Force Field is intended for IT service professionals who are in the business of tech, either full or part-time. These are not hobbyists or those who want to learn to be techs. These are computer repair business owners, professional IT consultants, full-service field technicians, programmers, system builders, and other providers who already have the technical training and are either already established business owners or want to start their own IT business and learn the business side of the industry. In other words, they already know how to do the technical stuff. They need to figure out how to handle the business end and how to profit from their technical knowledge and skills. Today I'd like to give you an overview of the Force Field. We'll take a look at the history of the podcast and its overall objective. I'll introduce you to the web portal, talk about some of the resources available on the site, and how you can access them free. I'll also tell you about some exciting new changes coming to the show and the site to enhance the Force Field experience and to help you master the business of tech. As we go inside the Force Field. To truly understand what the Force Field is all about, it's important to know how it all began. My background is a mix of media and tech. I had a career in broadcasting, and in almost a decade and a half, learned a lot about the broadcast industry. I wore many hats. I was a film and video editor, writer, cameraman, voice talent, audio producer, and even worked in the mailroom. I performed both on and off camera, recorded and produced voiceovers, produced and directed shows for a local cable channel, and met a few famous people along the way. I also liked to play with computers. My first was a Commodore PET, then a VIC-20, and a long relationship with the Commodore 64. I co-sysopped a bulletin board system, or BBS as it was known in those days, and started a business on another one by opening one of the first dial-up online shopping malls in Florida, before the internet was publicly available. In 1996, I left the world of broadcasting and entered the world of IT, supporting systems for brand-name companies. But I wanted to be in business for myself, so after receiving an ample amount of company training and certification, and selling my own systems on the side, I quit and opened my own store, and Savoia Computer was born. I built, maintained, and repaired computers, offered support, and a host of other products and services, but for my own customers. Then I began to perform contract work for nationals, and in so doing, discovered a new and different source of contract work altogether, the online IT service platform. In the spring of 2004, I joined ComputerRepair.com, the company now known as OnForce. OnForce is an internet-based service platform where clients, known on the platform as buyers, contract field service work to technicians, formerly known as providers, and more recently as pros. At the time, I considered the concept of the internet-based service platform to have great potential, and although the idea of using OnForce initially had a lot of appeal, as a tech, or provider as we were called at the time, I was often disappointed and frustrated with the limited support available from the platform itself. I was a member of the OnForce forum community from its early days, and I was well aware of the void in provider support. Of course, from the very beginning, the forums were quite active, and there was an army of other providers who could collectively provide an answer, or at least some insight, into resolving technical or IT business-related issues that arose on and off the platform. To some degree, they helped, but there was still something missing. Something I needed as a service provider to help me support the OnForce buyers, the buyers' customers, and my own business. Then came the force field. It began as an experiment in podcasting, to test my training and abilities from my previous career in broadcasting to find out if I still had the knack for producing audio. I was getting a little weary of the computer business and was looking for an exit strategy. I wanted to try this new media called podcasting as a possible move back to voice work in radio or television, or even a career in podcasting itself as a new form of entertainment. I also wanted to test the possibility of managing distribution within a closed venue in a limited scope. I needed a controlled environment, and OnForce was the perfect subject. So I developed a project and created a pilot episode. The force field was a name carefully chosen and has a triple meaning. The first is a reference to the field of member technicians in the OnForce forums, from where the idea originated. It also refers to the field force of service techs in the IT industry as a whole. The third meaning is a literal reference to a virtual force field, or shield, consisting of resources and information provided to techs in the business of IT field service, to educate and inform them for their protection from elements in the industry that can hurt or destroy their profitability and their businesses. The pilot episode was released June 26, 2006. The results were better than I expected, so I took the idea and ran with it. The show went over well with the providers, but what interested me more was the reaction from OnForce management. They seemed very excited about it, at least in the beginning. That was very encouraging. Unfortunately, they were unwilling to promote it to their provider base. Undaunted, I decided to do it alone, without their help. What began as an experiment in podcasting quickly became something more, much more. The positive reaction to the first show took me in a new direction, on the other side of the OnForce model. It offered something that, looking back, was the one thing missing from the online resources available to the OnForce service provider, the resources themselves. They were sorely needed. A number of listeners suggested early on I make the podcast open to all IT providers, not just those within OnForce, but all IT professionals. At first I resisted. That was not my intended audience. But as I lurked around other technical forums, it became clear that the questions, concerns, and issues that providers had in the OnForce forums were shared by those in other venues. In fact, I often lamented the fact that there was no one resource at the time that covered the complicated marriage between the technical and business sides of IT for the little guy. In addition, I needed a home for the podcast, a launching point from which each episode could be published and accessed. So, on November 27, 2006, the Force Field podcast expanded to cover all IT professionals with the launch of theforcefield.net. For those who are listening to the Force Field for the first time or have never heard of theforcefield.net before, allow me to introduce you to it. The Force Field podcast is a show about the business of tech and is primarily aimed at those who are in a tech-related job or business. The core audience for the show is made up of local computer shops, value-added resellers or VARs, computer consultants, and field service technicians who are small business owners or independent contractors in the IT industry. Although the show is generally geared toward the tech industry, it isn't about the nuts and bolts of being a technician. It's about the tech business. We cover topics about business startup and management, such as business planning, formation, advertising and marketing, customer relationships, vendor partnerships, and other topics that can apply to businesses in other industries as well. From the beginning, the Force Field podcast enjoyed great reviews and support, both inside and outside the tech community. The show has featured a number of interviews with high-profile industry professionals, received overwhelmingly positive feedback from listeners, and has high ratings in podcast directories such as iTunes. The Force Field is also listed as one of Small Business Trend's top 100 business podcasts, along with shows such as the Wall Street Journal podcasts and the Clark Howard Show. The Force Field podcast is also a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network and is available on iTunes, the Roku, the Lounge, Blueberry.com, Viaway, and Stitcher Radio. The show has followed a set format since the first episode, with minor variations. Each episode of the Force Field podcast features news, commentary, and introduces a specific issue or topic discussion, usually in the form of a call-in segment or interview with one or more industry professionals who provide some insight into the topic or possible solutions for the issue. In addition to the Force Field podcast, we also have the ForceField.net. Although it is the official home of the Force Field podcast, it is much more. It is a web portal with news, blogs, resources, and reviews from inside the IT industry. The ForceField.net is intended to be a launchpad in the search for resources to help techs learn the business of starting and managing a tech business. There are the latest news releases from major tech companies, reviews of new products and services, blogs, and discussions about trending topics in tech fields, and sources of information for learning the ins and outs of the IT industry. There are articles, books, videos, and access to free industry trade publications, such as periodicals, e-books, and white papers. The heart of the portal, however, is the IT Business Resource Directory. It contains a list of distributors, vendors, trade organizations, contractors, and other contacts, as well as financial, legal, and technical resources to help techs start and manage an IT business. For instance, there is a directory of suppliers and vendors who wholesale goods for resale to consumers and end users. There's a list of partner programs for techs who want to partner with manufacturers of the products they sell, service, and support. There's a directory of marketing resources and a directory of open source software. There's also a list of trade associations and organizations in various areas of IT. But there's one directory that is the highlight of the portal. It's also the most popular. It's the National Contractor and Platform Directory. The National Contractor and Platform Directory is a list of national IT service companies and web-based service platforms who subcontract work to field service technicians and is the largest and most comprehensive resource of its kind available on the Internet today. This directory includes information on over 100 nationals and platforms for techs who are looking for field work as independent contractors. Techs can rate and review these companies as well, providing valuable feedback as to which companies are best to work for and which to avoid. The IT Business Resource Directory is an inside connection to the business of tech and one of the prime attractions of the ForceField.net, aside from the Force Field podcast itself. But there is one more feature that adds another dimension to the Force Field experience. It's the community. The ForceField.net also features the Force Field Forums, an active community of techs who collaborate, support one another, and discuss the issues vital to their businesses. Many techs use the Force Field Forums to network with each other and exchange advice, ideas, and recommendations from other professionals in their field. It serves as both a virtual water cooler and a support group, and is vendor neutral. Some of these resources, such as the Force Field podcast and the National Contractor and Platform Directory, are available to the public. Some of the more proprietary resources are accessible to members only. However, membership to the Force Field is free to qualified professionals. To join, simply register at www.theforcefield.net. Now you know the history of the Force Field, and you know what it's all about. Why am I telling you all this? Is to prepare you for what is to come. Although I like tech, when I started my computer business, the long-term goal was to run a tech business, not be the tech in the business. After a decade and a half of system building, computer repair, service calls, and tech support, I wanted a change. Then podcasting came along, and I was hooked. It was time to retire from IT and pursue another career, so I did. I officially closed the book on Savoy Computer. But that's not the end of the Force Field. It's the beginning of the next chapter. I can now take the lessons I learned about the business and pass them to you in a more advisory role, so you don't have to learn them the way I did, the hard way. To accomplish this, the Force Field podcast will need to be updated. There's a lot more content to produce with many topics and issues to explore, and the show will need to be able to deliver it on a more regular schedule. I also want to streamline the show and make every minute count by replacing the content that is not as relevant with segments that fit the format. The news segment is redundant. News gets old fast, and most of it's already covered by many other tech podcasts. It really isn't the focus of the podcast either. I found that most listeners want to hear the topic of the show, so many of them skip the news entirely and go right to the discussion or interviews. Beginning with the next episode, there will no longer be a news segment. Some do like the commentary, and I will still do those from time to time, but the heart of the show is the discussion topic, so I'll stick to the topic and leave the news for other tech podcasts. I've received many emails over the years with comments for the shows. I wanted to share them with you, and it was my intention to read them on the show. However, due to the length of the interviews and time constraints, I never fit them in. That is going to change. Now that there is no longer a news segment, I can add your emails and comments to the show. The Force Field is about you, and I want you to be a part of it. So send in your comments and feedback, and beginning with the next episode, they'll be included on the show. TheForceField.net will also get an update. The directories will be expanded, new features will be added, and there are plans to produce a series of videos to enhance the Force Field experience. Primarily intended as a home for the Force Field podcast, portal, directories, and forums, TheForceField.net has a long-term goal: to become the jump point to those resources techs are searching for to start and grow their IT businesses, as well as a platform to network and partner with vendors and each other to help them become profitable and provide the solutions their customers need. It's time to attain that goal and make it a reality. Get ready. The Force Field 3.0 is coming. Well, folks, our time is up. I would like to thank everyone for listening, my kids for allowing me to do this without interruptions, and my wife for just putting up with me. If you would like to comment on the program, you can email me at rick@theforcefield.net or visit our website at www.theforcefield.net. Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and do not represent The Force Field, Savoia Computer, or advertisers. All music on the show is original and was written and performed by Brother Rancid and the Brand New Pygmies. Our announcer is Felix DeCat. The show is produced and distributed by Savoia Computer. For The Force Field, I'm Rick Savoia. May The Force Field be with you.